We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Hello. Whereas Ben-Hur had a cast of thousands, My Music has a cast of only five. Apart from me, that means John Amos and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Dalton. John Amos, start us off with a little musical identification. Who composed this?
Is Fauré.
Yes, Gabriel Fauré. Do you know the name of the piece? Comes from Sicily. I'll say it again.
Oh, it's a Sicilian.
Yes.
What?
It was. It was played by Paul Dottillier. Fauré is right. I have to tell you that we were doing some time ago on this programme puns on composers' names in pieces of music. I've been overwhelmed with suggestions. Best of all, I think, came from Mr. K.O. Cutler of Lydney in Gloucestershire, who got three composers into one title, and it was Fauré who reminded me, because his title was Fauré's A Jolly de Faller, and so Sibelius. Which is really quite good working out. Only de Faller. Frank, what? You've been a university rector in your time, so what is the connection between this music and a university?
Ooh, Gaudier. Gaudier, mos libertur. It's not St. Andrews.
No, it isn't. You got it in, though, didn't you? I worked it in, yes.
It's not the University of St. Andrews. But I've had a spirit message from my left.
Yes.
And it's the University of Brahms.
Yes. Well, yes. Can you give it a place, either of you?
Yes.
Begins with B.
Heidelberg, is it?
No, begins with B.
B?
Yes.
Breslau.
All right. Ian, your turn. Here is part of Beethoven's second piano concerto, played by Claudio Arrau. Ian, which of Beethoven's piano concertos was written first, number one or number two?
Well, on the basis that you would not have asked that question if they had been written in that order,
yes.
I think having studied law, I've pointed out more than once, rather than music, which explains why I don't know a great many things about music, would lead me to believe that the first one that he composed was, in fact, number one, but that it was therefore numbered in a different order when it came in the
rather nice distinction. If I'd said which was written first, the first or the second, of course the first would have been written first.
Yes,
however, it was numbered.
That's what I meant. But presumably the second was written first.
Yes, that's right. What's known as the second was composed before the first. You have a mark. Dennis, with your knowledge of the personalities of the music business, can you tell us what the connection is between these two records, the first of which is sung by Coffee and Cream?
I can see clearly
now the rain has gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Yes?
Well, I've seen Coffee and Cream, and an extremely attractive young couple, let's see.
Yeah.
And the boy in it is the son of Ray Ellington, who we heard singing second.
I can see clearly now. They were singing the Neil Sedaka song, the first one. Yes, Mark. This next round has a theme which will become apparent. John, Gustav Holst's 1924 Choral Symphony was a setting for soprano, choir and orchestra of four poems by...
Keats.
Thank you. Mark to you. Keats, yes. Frank, can you put a date, to the letter which Keats wrote to his sister when he said, "Give me books, fruit, French wine, fine weather, and a little music out of doors, played by someone I do not know, a little chance music, and I can pass a summer without caring about Fat Louis, Fat Regent, or the Duke." Now, that was Keats writing to his sister. A date.
It must be post-Napoleon.
Yes.
So it's right. After 1814.
Yes. Well,
Louis the 18th.
You're certainly near enough.
So it's and Keats died early 1820s. So it's between 1814 and 1820. 1818.
Very nearly right. August the 28th, 1819. You got a mark. Keats writing to his sister Fanny. Ian, you'll have gathered by now that the subject of this round is John Keats. Writing from his sickbed in Hampstead to his beloved Fanny Braun, Keats wrote, "There's that thrush again. I can't afford it. He'll run me up a pretty bill for music. Besides, he ought to know I deal at Clementi's." Rather nice thing to put in a letter. Tell me what you know, Ian, about Clementi. Or about thrushes.
Well, what an astonishing thing.
Oh.
Because if you had asked me that question a couple of weeks ago, I would have looked blank and would have tried to find out something about thrushes. But because in a record program I played a nocturne by the Irish composer John Field and looked up something about him, I discovered that when John Field was an infant prodigy or a teenage prodigy on the piano, he was brought over to London to work in Clementi's Piano Emporium.
There we are, yes.
Because Clementi was a businessman in music, and he was a teacher and he was a composer. And this poor kid of about 15 years of age had to play for the customers all the different pianos, yes, so that they could decide which one they wanted to buy. And he was paid next to nothing for this, but his wages were supplemented by lessons with the great Clementi. And finally, Clementi gave up the piano warehouse to go on concert tour, for 8 years, and took young Field to play and sort of look after him. And that finished up in St. Petersburg, and Field got stranded in St. Petersburg has spent most of the rest of his life there.
Well, this is pure
chance.
So
that's all. I mean, I would have known nothing of that a couple of weeks ago.
Well,
lucky old me.
Yes, pure chance. Very good. Just for the record, Muzio Clementi. Dennis, sorry.
I was going to say, wouldn't it be terrible if he was wrong?
Well, he's not.
Well, in that case, on a programme for British Forces Broadcasting Service, I have led them all up the garden path.
Muzio Clementi, born in Rome, died in Evesham in Worcestershire.
He
composed Dr. Gradus ad Parnassum, of course. The first real composer for the pianoforte, as opposed to the fortepiano and other aberrations. Dennis, accepting that the nightingale is a musical instrument and therefore fair game for this programme, who, in Keats' ode, heard the nightingale's voice in ancient days?
Well, a lot of people.
Choice.
"Thou wast not born for death, immortal bird, no hungry generations tread thee down. The voice I hear this passing night was heard in ancient days by emperor and clown. Perhaps the self-same song that found a path through the heart of Ruth, when sick at heart,
for home,
she stood She, in tears amid the alien corn, the self, the song that oft times charmed magic casements on the foam, on the foam season. Of perilous, yes,
and
foam, perilous seas and fairy lands forlorn.
There's only one possible comment, I should offer it on the piano. Yes, indeed. There are many degrees of fame, but I suppose ultimate fame is to be known under just one name, like Keats, or Churchill, or Picasso, or Wallace, for that matter, come to think of it. These four people you're about to hear are, or were, known under just one name or nickname. Amos, you first. Who was this, giving a rather revealing version of Karanome? A name.
Aldra Hiss.
yes. It was a very elderly 78 record, or probably 80 when it was recorded, yes. She was born in Florence, died in Milan in 1940. She was a sensation as Violetta and as Lucia. First name was Luisa...
Tetrazzini.
Tetrazzini. I helped you, but it was a difficult one, because you could scarcely hear her anyway, yes. Tetrazzini it was, singing. That extraordinary change of tone on different notes. Yes, exactly. A different kind of singer for you, Frank. Just one name, remember, and notice the accent.
When I was just a little bitty girl, I had a little bitty pair of shoes. They were brown and ugly, but I knew just what to do. Well, I shined them in the morning, I polished them bright. When nobody was looking, we danced into the night. We danced to marching music, and we danced into the blues. Oh, Lord, help the poor man that I love in those shoes.
One name, nickname.
It wasn't clear. It wasn't one voice, really, most of the time. Was
no.
It? No idea.
Twiggy. It was Twiggy singing Brown Shoes. Ian, over to you. This singer is accompanying himself.
First you take some gravel, and then you pour it in a bulk to make a mess of mortar. You take cement and water, see the Mallorooney come out, slurp.
Now, you recognize the voice?
Oh, dear.
Well, Frank did.
Yeah. It's...
No, I don't think I do.
No, not I wasn't listening. I was sulking.
Right, audience
it's American.
Again. Who was it? It was.
No.
It was Liberace, singing, singing Cement Mixer and playing the piano
on this program.
Yes, Dennis, for you, a single named rock singer from the '50s.
Hey, lump of sugar, you look kind of sweet. Cuter than a baby walking down the street. When I look into your eyes, I want to leave. I can't conceal that you make me feel like a tiger. Ooh, like a tiger. Ooh, just a sea. My heart really drives me on the ground. Wow.
The only single-name rock singer I can remember from the 50s is Millie. Do you remember
Millie? No.
And I can't, and it, no, it's not that. It wasn't Millie. It was
a young gentleman. He made films with Bing Crosby and John Wayne.
It wasn't Ward Bond.
No.
No, I really don't know.
He was on the Alamo, this one, wasn't he, as I seem to recall?
The Alamo.
Audience, who was he? Thank you, Fabian. Yes, he was Fabian. It was worth losing a mark to learn that, wasn't
yes,
it, Dennis?
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Right, to the piano. To the piano. I'm going to play not middles for a change, but ends.
Oh.
So the question will be to each of you individually, what ends like this? John, what ends like this?
When I worked for the London Philharmonic Orchestra one time, I was doing the printing, and I nearly got the push because the proof arrived, and it said one of the works was on cooking the first hero in spring.
By Ledius. Yes. Yes, on Delius, on hearing the first cuckoo in spring. Right, Frank, what ends like this? Any idea?
Yes, right.
Ding.
It goes on a bit, doesn't it, before that?
Very much.
Ding dong, ding dong. If I was a bell, I'd be ringing.
If I were a bell, you've got a mark. Yes. Ian, what ends like this?
Yes, well, I suppose that would make a very suitable signature tune for a television programme on sheepdog trials, because while that's going on, they could safely graze.
Sheep may safely graze. J.S. Bach, yes. Dennis, what ends like this?
Yes, I should hear it on trombone, shouldn't I?
Yes.
In the mood.
Yes, in the mood it was. That's right. Good. Let's try another round. General musical questions ranging over the last couple of centuries. John, what Süssmayr did for Mozart, Derek Cook did for Mahler? Did what?
Süssmayr is supposed to have finished the Requiem of Mozart, and Derek Cook certainly finished the 10th Symphony for Gustav Mahler, who had the word printed on his gravestone, Mahler.
Yeah.
Yes. Frank. Why not?
Yeah?
Frank, what can you tell me about the Ghost Trio?
Well, they couldn't play live.
They would be miming to playback. They would. That's right.
Spirit message.
Yes,
from the port bow. Beethoven.
Yes, a nickname for Beethoven's piano trio in D. Do you know an opus number?
Hang on. Do we know an opus number?
I was looking at John at the time.
Opus 70, number 1.
Yes, that's right. The name suggested by the slow movement, of which we hear just a trace now. Part of the aptly named Ghost Trio by Beethoven. Ian, here's the cast list, or part of it, of an opera first performed in 1919. There's a distiller, a sportsman, a voice across the water, and a character called Councillor Skinnerup. There are two names in the title, Somebody and Somebody, and Elizabeth Söderström plays both parts on a record album. Do you know what the opera is?
1919.
Should I give you a little piano clue? You either do know or don't know, I think.
Lovely.
Yes, it was very sweet.
Faintest idea.
No, no. John, do you happen to know?
Yes, it's got something to do with the steel and iron industry.
Yes.
Fenimore Iron Girder.
Yes. It's Delius's Fenimore and Girder is the name of the opera. And you look as though you're glad to know that.
Yes. If you ask me that another time, I might get it.
Right. Dennis, what particular contribution to the art of music was made by Fabian Stedman of Cambridge in the 17th century?
He lent his Christian name to a rock singer of the 50s.
I did that. That just, in earlier part of programme, refers.
Yes. Stedman?
Stedman, yes.
Ah. Yes. Would I be right in taking a clue from Dorothy Sayers?
Yes, you would. Yeah. Absolutely right.
Stedman triples are a part of bell ringing, I believe.
Yes, mm-hmm. He was the great protagonist of change ringing, Fabian Stedman. He published Tintinologia in 1668. Bell ringers know all about his name. Over to the final songs, which are romantic, smoochy, and the 4-3, and there's a philosophical song about the open road. John Huyberger, the composer, the opera ball, the operetta, Im Chambre Separe, the song, and what a gorgeous melody it is. Let us perform it for all it is worth, and it's worth rather a lot, isn't it? Lovely song, this.
Well, in the key of put D. In my imaginary monocle.
Gehen wir in Chambre séparée, ach, zu dem süßen Tête-à-tête, dat bei einem Champagner um zu pein, man alle sich leichter gesteht. Gehen wir Chambre séparée, ach, zu dem süßen Tête-à-tête, nan, 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 nan,
I believe the Viennese call that mit Schlag. Am I right? Yes?
What I love about it is that the German and Austrian singers always cock up the French somewhat.
Yeah.
It's never chambre séparée, but chambre séparée.
They weren't the only ones towards the end, were they?
No, no, no. The English can also make a muck of things.
I found you. I found you, didn't I?
Thank you, thank you.
Right.
Ich war gefunden.
Frank.
Yeah.
On a slightly different musical plane, your song rhymes cozy, dozy, and toesy. And it's the one that starts...
Lord. Yes, this is a lovely, lovely, lovely early song. It's very sentimental, isn't it?
Yes.
It's con sentiment.
Yeah, con sentiment. Try it. Try that.
Cuddle up a little closer, lovey mine. Cuddle up and be my little clinging vine. Like to feel your cheeks are rosy. Like to feel you comfy, cozy. Cause I love from head to toesy. Lovey mine.
Okay. Dennis,
this all going to cut through the sentiment like vinegar.
Yes. It's still sentimental in a rather revolting sort of way. How do you feel when you marry your ideal?
Oh, this is evident. Kind of, yes. Jaunty jolly. Right. Yes. How do you feel when you marry your ideal? Ever so goosey, 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 goosey. How do you feel when the bells begin to peal? Ever so goosey, 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 goosey. Walking down the aisle in a kind of daze. Don't you get the wind up when the organ plays? How do you feel when the parson's done the deal? Ever so goosey, 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 goosey. And to think, Steve, there are still people who say that radio is merely mental wallpaper. Steve, do you remember a song called, it wasn't ever so goosey, it was There's No Sense Sitting on the Fence.
Oh, yes.
All by Itself in the Moonlight. I met the man who wrote that, and he was running a spy school during the war.
Really?
His name was Major Edwards.
Yeah.
You've blown his cover now.
Oh,
have mums.
They'll push him out the Bosphorus.
What a spike. Piece of social history, that. I've met the man who wrote that. Ian, I claim the credit for bringing this super old song to your attention. Remember, we were swapping old songs around the piano, and I fished out a battered old copy of...
Yes. What a lovely comedian he was, yes, too. Scott Sanders. Yes. Oh, dear, excuse me. You all right? Yes, I'm all right.
I'm on the road to anywhere, with never a heartache and never a care. Got no home, got no friends, thankful for everything the good Lord sends. On the road to everywhere, where every milestone seems to say that through all the wear and tear, the road to anywhere may lead to somewhere someday.
Road to anywhere may lead to somewhere, even to a top A flat, Ian, someday. Our road has led us to the end of this programme. It's a victory this particular week for John Amos and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Tony Schreier.